You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
If your heart's an empty hole, your brain is full of spiders, or you've got garlic in your soul, then this is the episode for you. We are kicking off our drive-in Christmas series. This is where we buckle up, find the best spot to park our car, and imagine we are at the drive-in watching a few of our favorite movies. This series, we are focusing on some Christmas classics that was voted on by you guys. You have spoken, so we have heard you. We have answered what you have spoken. And we are going to do a Christmas drive-in about a few of your favorite Christmas movies. This one in particular, even though it's not my favorite did not make the vote, but it's okay, listeners. I'm not upset with you. This is a close second. We're going to talk about How the Grinch Stole Christmas. So, go ahead. What were you going to say, TJ? Are you excited?
I was just going to ask what your favorite Christmas movie is.
It's Arthur Christmas. It's very obscure. Oh,
so that is worse. Okay.
It's worse?
Yeah, that's worse.
No, it's not.
Our audience made the right choice.
No, it's not. It's my personal favorite, which is fine. But if you guys are interested, before I was so rudely interrupted by TJ, saying my favorite Christmas movie is the worst, make sure you look at our show notes. You are going to be able to see other past drive-in series that we have done. And make sure you keep up so you can hear all of the hosts talk about the favorite Christmas classics that was voted on by you. As you already heard, I am joined with my favorite host, one of them, who is a Chipotle guru, if you will, and my soon-to-be neighbor in the next 3 to 5 years, TJ Blackwell. How are you doing, TJ, besides being wrong about my favorite movie?
I'm doing, is it your favorite movie, period?
No.
Favorite Christmas. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Worked today, you know, at Chipotle.
Did you flip some meat, dice some vegetables?
I did. I sure did.
Man, what a Chipotle guru you are. I think about you every time I go to Chipotle.
Good.
Just want to let you know. So we're going to just jump right in. TJ, would you have picked this as like your top four Christmas classic?
Top four? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
top definitely.
Four. I would have chosen top four as well. Now, I will say Christmas classic, this is a classic. And so my favorite movie is not a classic, but we're not talking about that. So we're in the drive-in. We just watched it for the first time. What would you say your first reaction was to watching How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
That's so hard. I mean, like, that's so hard. I've probably seen this movie every year I've been alive at least once.
Correct. Me too.
So it's hard to say what my first reaction would have been other than, oh, that was great. That was so fun.
Could you imagine watching this on the big screen in a drive-in? Like, and it's like a little nippy in the air, and you're just watching all the wonders of Whoville and all the magic of Christmas. That would be fantastic.
That would be fantastic. Being at a drive-in makes every movie better. If you've never been to one, you need to find like the closest one to you and go see literally anything. It's great. I saw Hocus Pocus at a drive-in once. Made it so much better. And Hocus Pocus is already great.
Yeah, I agree. They are so few and far between. My closest one is 2.5 hours away. Yeah.
Mine's like one. That's pretty lucky.
But if you guys, you have to do this. Put it on your bucket list if you have not gone to the drive-ins. We love them. So we're talking about How the Grinch Stole Christmas. This is I wouldn't even say a spinoff. It's based on Dr. Seuss's book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. But we are specifically talking about the one with Jim Carrey, right? Are we on the same page, TJ? That's the movie we're at the drive-ins with?
Yes.
Okay. There's so many versions. But not really, but yes, but they are.
Yeah. Well, if we're just talking about like strictly classic, I think maybe the animated one is more classic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too short.
Yeah. I love when I want to watch The Grinch, I want to watch Jim Carrey as The Grinch. Like he makes the whole movie, obviously. I mean, it's based on The Grinch, but like his mannerisms, his actions, it's fantastic. Like you can even replace Cindy Lou Who in the movie, and I would be okay, but you can't replace Jim Carrey.
I think you could replace Cindy Lou Who with Jim Carrey, and it would still be fantastic. I think if he did both roles, it would be
have amazing. Like a Polar Express type deal where Jim Carrey is like everyone.
Yeah,
I like it. We should petition that. So, okay, I'm the same. I cannot tell you the first time I saw this movie, which I feel is kind of like a staple of classics because it's been there as long as you've been, really.
No.
But my favorite is probably just the humanness of the Grinch, especially my favorite part is whenever he is trying to dress and he's like, ooh, ah, that's it. I'm not going. I'm like, I have felt this so many times before. So I would say that's my favorite. What's your favorite part of the movie?
Oh, the Christmas light cannon from the mayor's wife. And she's decorating her house. I don't know why. That scene's always so funny to me.
You just want your own Christmas light cannon.
I want a Christmas light cannon.
It's just crazy. Like, this homegirl is literally, not the mayor's wife, but the Lou Who's mother.
That's
the homegirl literally stole a traffic light.
Yeah, it's great. I love just the world that they built around Whoville. Because, you know, Seuss never really gets into what Whoville is like. That's not really what he was writing for. So getting to see it like this huge and alive, breathing city, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a bad scene in the movie.
I don't think so either. I feel everything is so well done. And even the characters had great chemistry. And being a movie, I'm not sure exactly when it first came out. But, I mean, there's no cheesy animations or anything like that. Like, everything is done beautifully.
Yeah, I want to say it was like 2002.
Okay, so it's been out for a decent while.
2000. So I'm barely older than this movie. Just barely.
It's okay. I mean, all the great things, I guess, was born in 2000.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm DJ. I was born in 1999.
You're 1999. Yeah, you're 99. Never mind. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. So just thinking a little bit deeper into this movie. It always breaks my heart whenever the Grinch gets bullied as a little kid.
Yeah, but sometimes we just have to face facts, and that kid was weird.
He was weird.
That kid was weird. That's very real. Like, if a kid pulls up like that to school, that kid's probably going to get bullied.
Yes, and the sad thing, he didn't choose to be this weird. Like, he got pushed off course. And so I think about all, like, pretty much the hand of life we're dealt with. We don't get to choose how we're raised or like the environment we are born in, right? And so he was some kind of other Whoville or whatever, got off course and ended up in Whoville. And because he was different, he was bullied.
Yeah.
Which is very sad. And that's how he hated Christmas. For those who may have been living under a rock, spoiler. This is, you're getting all of the spoilers. But if you have not seen this movie, or it's been a while, please go watch it. Yeah. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, it feels very real. And it is easy, really easy to feel bad for him because he starts off as just like this compassionate kid who just wants people to like him and wants to like people. And that's just not what happens.
And then, like, he's generous. Like, he has feelings and he wants to be accepted and to be noticed, but
he also eats glass.
Yes. Yeah, he do be eating glass. Which is just so, like, I'm just like, does Whoville have therapy? Like, have they tried to get him help to figure out stuff? If you are born different in today's society, they'd be running all kinds of tests.
Yeah.
Or diagnosing you with something. They just let this guy eat glass.
Yeah, right. It's like, it's a fun party trick. He eats bottles. But it reminds me of what the great philosopher said, Mewtwo from the Pokemon movie. It doesn't matter the circumstances of your birth, only what you do with your life, or something to that note.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grinch proves that point very well when he saves Christmas, which is what the movie's really about.
Right. He saves Christmas.
Yeah.
After he tried to ruin it.
Max tried to ruin it. Max was the mastermind behind stealing it.
Max was the dog, in case it's been a while for you guys, who is the Grinch's right-hand man. And honestly, I say he stole the show a few times.
I love live-action Max.
He's so cute.
He's such a good dog.
As my dog is sitting by my feet, I'm just like, everyone needs a good dog in their life. But it's crazy how, if you think about, if you were to do this and you would flip it on his head and you had this person who's known to be an outcast, and they come and they try to ruin everything, but then they regret their decision and fix everything. Today, as a society, we would not be as forgiving as the Whovilles or the Whovians were.
Yeah.
We would be like, nah, throw him in jail. We hate you.
Yeah. I don't think he would last long in modern society either.
But he definitely wouldn't get the girl.
I don't know.
I think he would get the girl in jail.
Maybe not the girl.
A girl, yes.
Yeah. But
I think this movie is such a great one. If you just take the whole, like, you know, Christmas aspect out, it's about redemption. It's about transformation, how the Grinch starts to be a bitter, mean-spirited character who despises Christmas. But the only reason why he despises Christmas is because he was embarrassed and bullied by his classmates during Christmas.
Yeah.
And so how the story unfolds, he undergoes this transformation all because a little girl came and she still has the, like, the, I guess what you would say, the pure spirit of Christmas. Like, she wasn't so about competition or consumerism or just trying to outdo one another. She just really wanted the spirit of Christmas. And I appreciated that they used the little girl to school the knowledge of the mayor on the Whovian book.
Yeah.
So not only was she cute, she was smart.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, because I do know some people who don't like this movie.
And really?
Yeah. I feel like most of the people who don't, it's just because they made the Grinch a sympathetic character. Because without the backstory, he's just an evil green dude. Like in the first animated Grinch, he's just an evil green dude, more or less. Because you don't know he grew up like that. And a lot of people don't like to have their villains unvilified. Humanized.
Yeah,
that's the word.
And I agree. Sometimes I do appreciate just like a good villain, right? But with this and the true meaning of Christmas, this, we needed to see that transformation and we needed to see the change to show what Christmas really means. So Christmas isn't about just being vengeful. It's not just about holding on to grudges, but it's about looking beyond yourself and coming together as a community.
Yeah. And it is touching. Like, when the community finally accepts the Grinch and has Christmas, it's so nice. It's such a good payoff.
Well, even before he saves Christmas, the community was open to him. Like, even though they were afraid of him, when Cindy Lou Who was like, I nominate the Grinch, people were shocked. But when he came down the first time, they were feeding him pudding, and they were willing to accept him. But they kept on, they like kind of like bombarded him with the tradition. And so he got overwhelmed with the tradition. So I feel that could be true in almost any kind of society, whether you visit maybe a friend's house who's a different culture, then you get overwhelmed by the cultural differences. Or if someone goes to like a super charismatic church and they get overwhelmed by like the Holy Ghost type deal. So
yeah, that's also very real. Like, stepping out of your comfort zone and then getting overwhelmed and having to retreat and going back to your old ways. It's so real. Unbelievably good movie about the human condition. Jim Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Okay. So what part sticks out to you the most besides the light cannon?
How much time do we have? I'm just going to read the script.
We still have like, about like, the script. The whole script. Okay, I was like, we have like 10 minutes, but
no,
a little bit longer.
The ones, when someone says like the Grinch to me, the scenes that immediately come to mind are the mail scene and, you know, obviously the Christmas canon, shaving the mayor, sliding around town, just that kind of thing. I love that. The sleigh hanging off the mountain. Those are the scenes that just kind of pop into my head when I think of the Grinch.
I love the whimsical of all the hair in the Whovilles. Like, I think when I think of how this movie, I think of the buildings and how they created such a magical place that you would see in fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. It's such an amazing atmosphere. Like, they really capture the spirit of Seuss so well, like impossibly well for live action. I almost can't believe it. Like, I want to see somebody try to make live-action Lorax or Horton Hears a Who.
Right, no, and he just brought the Grinch to life. It didn't look cheesy. It didn't look animated. Tell me, do you know if they used CGI for this? Or did he just have a costume and really good makeup?
Oh, on Jim Carrey? They didn't use CGI, no. They didn't even use prosthetics. Like, wow. They did a little bit, like, for the big cheeks and the big chin. but all of the faces the Grinch makes, that's just Jim Carrey. He can just do those faces in real life. It's terrifying.
His postures are like fantastic. Like you could tell, like he, like I could even see Jim Carrey through the Grinch, but I wasn't mad about it. Some people I get really frustrated. I'm like, can you not be a different character? But like this, it just works so great. It's the Grinch is Jim Carrey and Jim Carrey is the Grinch.
Yeah. And just Jim Carrey is amazing.
Yeah.
Because they had to do, you can look it up. There's an interview with Jim Carrey about, like, it was pretty shortly after The Grinch came out, where a little girl recognized him and was like, you're the Grinch. And he just made, like, the Grinch's evil grin. And she, like, screamed. And he just does the face in the interview. And it literally, there's nothing different about it except he's not green.
Mm-hmm.
It's so impressive.
I would scream, too, out of delight.
Yeah, his face is made out of, like, putty or something. He has insane control.
I think we talked about it a little bit, but how do you feel we are today? Do you feel we are repeating the patterns of the Whovians with the consumerism of Christmas today?
Yeah, I think most people are. Because, you know, that's kind of something we've been taught not to do my whole life, personally, in my church. You know, it's not about the gifts, it's about the spirit of Christmas and loving each other, but it's better to give than receive. So we aren't like huge on go buy, spend.
Yeah, Christmas is kind of weird for me because like I didn't grow up Christian. So we didn't really do he is the reason for the season. It was just all gifts. And then my family like lost everything to drugs and whatnot. And so then, you know, no more Christmases together. And I mean, obviously I'm a Christian now. So I'm like, you know, happy birthday, Jesus, even though he was really born in August.
Well, you know, that's a different story. That's a much older story.
Much older story. But the point is, so if you are not focusing on Jesus, because this is not a Christian movie, they are talking about the spirit of Christmas, you're not focusing on consumerism. They're really just focusing on community and togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find I get a lot of art, my community, especially around Christmas time, within the local body, and we are able to like help the community through the church. But as far as Whovilles, they just get together and hang out for their community, right?
Yeah. I personally like that kind of community.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's a small town community that I kind of crave, which is why I'm trying to be a neighbor.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think so many people like about going to college. Because for most people in the United States, that's the first time and probably the last time they're ever going to live in a walkable city with neighbors that they can talk to and spend time with.
Mm-hmm. I remember I grew up in a smaller town, which can be a yay or a nay. You go to Walmart and you see everyone you know. So I'm going to be moving from a town of 42,000 to a town of 4,000. And I'm actually looking forward to being able to get to know my neighbors and get to know the communities and be a part of everything instead of just, you know, almost like a flicker in the community, if you will.
Yeah. My town is even smaller than the one you're moving to, you know, to remain anonymous. Let's see. The last time I lived there was our population was 2,300 and like barely 2,300.
They haven't done a census in a while, so I'm sure both towns are bigger.
Yeah, probably.
But I just can't imagine having a community like Whoville.
It's different. It's like it's got the density of New York and the size of like a small South Carolina town. It's just everywhere you look is people, but there's not that many of them.
And everyone's so excited, and they know your name, and they have fun names too. I just love the name. Like, could you imagine if we all had a Who name? I think there's a generator where you can choose your Who names and whatnot. But just I can't imagine almost the whole town being on one accord like that, you know, in one mind and one spirit of Christmas.
Yeah. I think if the town was cooler, like if you live in a town as cool as Whoville, you probably might get that close knit. It's just not attainable in today's society. We just can't do that. Our sauce isn't that thick.
And I wonder if, because the Grinch heart grows three sizes when he realizes the joy and happiness comes from giving to others. And because we are such a consumerism society, we have such a poverty mindset. If I give you anything, then I have less, and we don't want less. You know what I mean? And I don't want you to have more than me with such a comparative community. I'm wondering if everyone is just a little bit more generous, how that can transform a community.
Yeah, I think after the Grinch does his thing, that's what Whoville is like. Before, they are kind of competitive and, oh, she has this, I want that, bigger, but better.
It takes such a drastic change, like the Grinch coming in and like stirring everything up, for us to realize, holy cow, there needs to be a change. I mean, I even think of COVID, how it came and it swiped everything pretty much to a stop. But it was one of the best things we could have had as a church, because it made the church slow down and we checked on our people. And we had all the time, because we didn't have to focus on services. We didn't have to focus on outreach. We didn't have to focus on so many different things. We were able to be super intentional with our congregation. It's like, what do you need? How can we help you?
Yeah. Yeah. There are definitely pros and cons to a pandemic like that, you know, because of the loss of human life. I still say it's probably not worth it.
No, I'm saying I don't want to do it again, but you can see positive. But,
yeah. Silver lining.
Yes.
There are silver linings. The Grinch is the COVID of Whoville.
Yeah. You need an interruption in your life to kind of make you see the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, as we are wrapping up, do you have any other things to say? What would you rate this movie?
Oh, 9.5 out of 10.
High praises. I would also give it a 9.
Yeah. It's great. I love it. I love all the Grinch movies. Even like the Tyler.
I haven't seen the new one.
Yeah, the Tyler, the Creator one. I even like that one. A lot of people hated it. I would still give that one at least an 8.
Really? So it's worth watching? I purposely have not watched it because I did not want to hate it.
I think it's worth watching. Because I like the Grinch a lot. And that one counts. So.
I like it. So as we are wrapping up, TJ, I have to know, what's been the most memorable Christmas gift you've ever received?
Okay. So two things came to mind immediately. And they were on separate Christmases. I got a Wii and an Xbox 360. And, you know, I got many, 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 many hours out of those two things separately. So it's got to be one of those. Probably the Xbox 360, because that's just, it's tops. It's still at my parents' house because I did have to leave it behind. There's just no room. But I've spent so much of my life on that thing.
I have my 360 in the closet behind me with all my Fables.
Yeah, Fable's great. I love Fable. They're rebooting Fable.
I heard that, which made me almost get an Xbox over a PS5, but we'll see.
Yeah, I got a computer. I got a PC, so I'll still be able to play it.
Nice, nice. I think my most memorable Christmas gift would be I got a a Fender guitar, acoustic electric. It was a J5 signature cutaway acoustic electric guitar. It was black and silver. I memorized all of this because I wanted a guitar so bad, so I can go to this guy who played guitar. His name was Taylor Clyde.
Oh yeah.
And I wanted him to give me lessons. So I literally asked for a guitar so I could ask my now husband to give me lessons. You know, I used that to kind of flirt with him a little bit.
Did he give you lessons?
Yes. But, you know, that was before we were like dating. I was like, hey, I'm getting a guitar. You know, it was like almost like an icebreaker, you know, because I had to have some game.
Yeah, and of course.
Now I'm married for 10 years. So I say that was a pretty good gift.
That is a pretty good gift. None of my Christmas gifts got me married. So
it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah. One day.
You're going to meet someone who is obsessed with their old Xbox 360 and y'all are going to bond and it's going to be love.
Yeah.
And you know how I love love.
Yeah, it's just going to come up in conversation.
It is. Well, that's how Taylor and I, besides the guitar, because I'm going to be honest, guys, did not stick with it at all. I know 3 chords. But what Taylor and I bonded the most over was Pokemon. So you just never know.
Yeah. Maybe I'll marry Taylor one day.
Maybe. He's great. I'll share him. I mean, you have to help share the financial responsibility of him, though, because, gosh, he's expensive.
Okay.
All right. Done.
He looks expensive.
Well, guys. He is expensive. Look at that beard. Guys, thanks so much for listening to our first episode in this Christmas drive-in series. We hope that you enjoyed this drive-in movie with us. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Podchaser, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to our show on the platform. And check out the show notes for future episodes are, excuse me, future episodes are past series that we've done like this. Thank you for tuning in to Systematic Geekology. We hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to subscribe. And until next time, let me be the first of the hosts to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Merry Christmas.
You're the second.
This was an Anna's Isle Ministries podcast. If you enjoyed this show and would like to learn more about our network, be sure to check out the Anna's Isle Ministries podcast network.